Welcome to my podcast, Tricks of the Trademark. This is Eric Pelton with another podcast episode in which I share advice and experience based on my 20 years of working with clients around the world to protect and strengthen their brands. As we record this episode of the podcast, I am preparing to fly to Charlotte, North Carolina to give a presentation to the North Carolina Bar Association on the year in review in trademarks. And I wanted to use this opportunity to talk about a few interesting cases over the last year that affect trademark law and trademark owners. A few months back, we did sort of a look ahead to trends in trademark practice and trademark law. But this analysis will be a little bit different in that it's more focused on what's happened in the courts over the last year. And to kick it off, there's actually a Supreme Court hearing in mid-April in a case called Iancu v. Brunetti. Iancu is the name of the commissioner of the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, and Brunetti is the applicant, who is a skateboard company and artist and clothing company. And he applied several years back for a trademark for the letters F-U-C-T. And you can imagine how that would be pronounced, of course. And as a result of the pronunciation and therefore arguably the meaning of that mark, the trademark office refused to register it based on the law's prohibition of registering immoral or scandalous trademarks. So this case has now been challenged through various appeal levels over the last several years, made it all the way to the Supreme Court, and it's really now become less of a trademark case and more of a First Amendment case because the issue relates to whether or not this prohibition in the trademark statute is a restriction on free speech and the First Amendment. So I'm not a First Amendment scholar or expert. It's been many years since I studied the First Amendment in depth in law school. So I'll leave it really up to others to comment on where the case may head. But many believe that this provision will be struck down by the Supreme Court following their having struck down the provision barring disparaging trademarks in a case about a band called The Slants 2 years ago. And if this provision is struck down, there will be a sort of small floodgate rush of vulgar and obscene trademark filings and registrations. I don't particularly have a problem with that. I think it is what it is in today's world and today's media. But one possible side effect may be the implications about how will the USPTO then handle applications for, let's say, the Nazi symbol or the N-word. Because if we've stripped out any restrictions on the type of speech that the Patent and Trademark Office can block, there may be no basis for blocking those. And that may be the best thing. That may be the proper analysis under the First Amendment. It's just an interesting case to watch. So watch out for that. In another case that was decided towards the end of last year involved Viacom and their ownership of the SpongeBob SquarePants TV show and related trademarks. Someone was going to open a restaurant called the Krusty Krab, and fans of SpongeBob will know that the Krusty Krab, spelled with two K's, is a fictional place that many of the activities on SpongeBob revolve around. So Viacom alleged trademark violations of this new restaurant. The interesting issue is that Viacom's never used the mark Krusty Krab for a restaurant. They have registered the name for, I think, apparel and toys, and they've licensed it on some other goods, but it was never used for restaurants. So the defendant was trying to argue that there was no confusion because Krusty Krab is a fictional restaurant in any TV show and consumers wouldn't be confused. Well, the courts didn't buy that. The courts held that Viacom had enforceable rights, even though the restaurant is fictional in the TV show. And the court held, this was the Fifth Circuit, court held that there was a likelihood of confusion created by the defendant's efforts to use the Krusty Krab restaurant name. And so Viacom was successful in stopping that. A case that happened, or decision that was handed down right at the end of 2018 by the Trademark Trial and Appeal Board, actually involved one of my clients. So I'm going to try not to editorialize, but I think that it is a important decision for trademark owners to be aware of. The case is Curtin v. United Trademark Holdings, Inc. Again, that was at the Trademark Trial and Appeal Board in opposition number 912-41083. At issue there is the applicant's mark for the word Rapunzel for use in connection with dolls. And the decision in December doesn't relate to the merits of the case, whether or not Rapunzel can be registered for dolls. What it relates to is whether Professor Curtin, who is a law professor, had standing to bring this case and go forward with the case. And the board held that Professor Curtin does have standing based on her interest as a general consumer of dolls and dolls with fairy tale themes, even though she is not a competitor or manufacturer of dolls. And this is arguably an expansion of prior standing decisions, allowing more opposers or potential opposers to bring cases against trademarks on the grounds of descriptiveness or genericness. So that's another case that could have implications in the future for other trademark owners. Finally, I want to mention the case Disney Enterprises versus Sorelli, which came out of the Southern District of New York in 2018. And this case is only partially decided at this point, but the important decision at this point related to the plaintiff's trademark complaints. And the plaintiff, Disney, brought complaints against a themed costume party company that will bring characters to a party. And they have characters that resemble or akin to many well-known characters or fairy tale characters. But in particular, Disney based this lawsuit on Star Wars rights and Marvel rights and Disney character rights. And the court said that the case could proceed based on copyright and some other grounds, but that the defendant could successfully dismiss the trademark ground because consumers would not be confused as to the source, because the defendant company was careful not to use the registered trademark names, and that the court held that the consumers be aware and not confuse the fact that the services were not coming from Disney or its subsidiary brands. So that's another interesting case to watch that still going forward on those other grounds, but may have ramifications for trademark owners enforcing or attempting to enforce their rights going forward. So those are a couple of key cases that happened over the last year that I'm going to be sharing at that North Carolina Bar Association conference. If you've got other significant trademark cases that you'd like to hear me talk about in upcoming podcasts, please reach out to me on Twitter at TM4SmallBiz with the numeral 4, and I'm happy to review other cases as well. You've been listening to Tricks of the Trademark with me, Eric Pelton. I've been making trademarks bloom since 1999. For more information about my trademark services, visit my website at ericpelton.com. Thanks for listening.